Today, I just want to have a reminder here that Pastor Devine and I believe I have Anthony that will be going out. Right after I make my third point today to bring all of the students and children into the service for the announcements at the end. My mic is a little hot up here. Is it too loud to you guys out there? Then I'll just deal with it on this side. Good morning, Living Hope Church.
Good morning.
Let's try that one more time. Good morning, Living Hope Church. You know, sometimes we walk into church and we just think, it's just Sunday. I'm here just to do my thing one more time. But that's not what it's about at all. Amen? We are here to worship a risen Savior. We are here to glorify God. Now, all over the sanctuary, if you have your Bibles with you, whether in digital or printed format, hold your Bibles up over the air. Hold your Bibles up in the air. Amen. Now listen, don't do this to a visitor. Go ahead and put your hands down. Don't do this to a visitor. But if you're sitting next to a member of our church or somebody you know real well and you got your Bible and they don't have theirs out, can you hit them with your elbow. Hey, like what's up? This is God's Word we're about to hear from. Amen. So listen, guys, we should come here every week prepared to read the Word of God. Amen? If you have God's Word in your hand, please turn into the book of John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We are continuing in our series called I Am. And today we come to part 3 called I Am the Door. We know that in this series that Jesus makes 7 statements through the book of John where he declares that he is the great I Am. He is the I Am that Moses saw at the burning bush. When Moses said, "Who shall I say is sending me?" God told Moses, "Say, I Am has sent you." In other words, he also said, "I Am that I Am." In other words, I exist and I have existed. Amen? And so as we are continuing in this message, what I want you to keep mind of is that everything that we're reading here, everything we're studying, everything we're talking about is set in the context of the great I Am. Now, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Amen? But we should never let that be far from our hearts. We should never let that be far from our minds and our thoughts and in our heart and our soul. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the great I Am, has come and declared Himself to us, has declared His glory, and He has one purpose in mind, and that is to get you into God's heaven. And so today, if you have your Bibles, please say amen. Picking it up in John chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, reading from the Word of God. Jesus, by the way, I was asked one time, "Pastor Larry, do you have any favorite parts of the Bible?" Well, I love all the Word of God, amen? But if I had to choose my favorite parts, it's anything written in red. If it's written in red, who's talking?
Jesus.
Jesus, amen. Reading from the Word of God, John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Jesus saying, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." May the Lord add His blessings upon His Word. I want to preach today an exceedingly simple message. If you're watching on the internet, if you're sitting here today, and you're not part of our normal Wednesday night crew where we go a little bit deeper in God's Word, I want you to understand that today is going to be an exceptionally simple message. Now, why is that? Well, God didn't make it real difficult. If it was real difficult, He wouldn't have me preaching His Word. Amen? See, that was just a little too loud there. But if it was that difficult to get, if it was that difficult to understand, God wouldn't have it declared the way He has it declared. And the message of God's Word is simple. And so today's going to be a simple message. Now, let me paint a picture, if you don't mind. Think of this in your mind, that you are walking along and you're in a dark place. It's the dark woods. You can hear things rustling all about you. Things slithering through the underbrush. You know, when we went to the Gulfstream Baptist Association annual meeting, Dr. O.S. Hawkins was preaching. And it was interesting how he said something that really caught my attention and everybody else there. Isn't it interesting that in these days and times, the things that used to slither through the back alleys of life march in parades down the streets of our cities. Amen? But picture that you're in the woods, and it's dark, and you hear things rustling around out in the woods, and you hear things slithering around, and it's a scary and it's a frightening place. And you come to a wall. This wall seems to be impregnable. It goes up, looks like forever, and it goes in both directions. And you find yourself following along this wall. And why are you following yourself along this wall? Because you can hear what's going on right on the other side. See, on your side it's dark, and it's scary, and there's things that go bump in the night. But on the other side of the wall, you can hear happy people rejoicing, celebrating, all kinds of good and wonderful things. Amen? Amen? So as you're doing that, you hear these happy people. Some are laughing. Some are shouting for joy. But the important thing is that all of them on that side seem to be very, very happy. Very happy. And now if you're anything like me at all, what you really want to do, where you really want to go, is on that other side of the wall where the party is. Amen? I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of a party guy. For you folks watching on the internet, you may not be able to understand that. But with this gray hair and getting on in years, I am a party guy still to this day. I enjoy having a great time. And by the way, I know you folks sitting around the sanctuary, I know you guys like a good time too. Or as we say down in Louisiana, I believe I want to pass a good time. That's how they say it where my wife is from. So if you're anything like me, you want to get inside where things are happy. So you continue to follow the wall, and eventually you find yourself at a door. It's the only door that you've seen. And amazingly, unbelievably, a door is unlocked. All you have to do is open the door and walk in where all the happy, joyful people are. My question is this: what would you do? Would you stay on the side where it's dark and scary and all the creepy things are? Or would you open the door and go in where the party is? Well, I think that's kind of a stupid question, amen? It's okay to nod your heads on that one. It's a simple question. Of course, we would walk through the wall, but sometimes folks don't do that. For instance, would you think that there has to be some kind of trick? There has to be some kind of catch? Why are all these people so happy? Why am I able just to walk in free of charge and just walk through this door? Well, let me explain something to you as we've talked about this scenario. The wall represents the sin in our lives. Our sin has placed an immovable, impregnable wall between us and a holy God. How many people have sinned, church? For how many have sinned? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, I'm not sure you guys are in here with me this morning, so I'm gonna have to ramp this up a little bit. I'm gonna have to rowdy this message up a little bit. I know it's one of those Sunday mornings where you know what, things got started a little late. I get it. I totally get that. You know, we have one of our key folks is out of town, and so we got the sound hooked up a little late. The prayer team was in there praying with all their hearts for me. So they, you know, when you do that, they'll probably be in there all day if we don't call them out. If they're praying for Pastor Larry. But we got started a few moments, and it seemed a little sluggish at start as we were trying to get started here in the service. But listen, guys, we are here to worship a holy God. And we are here to find out how to have a relationship with Him. Now listen, guys, this impregnable wall that represents our sin that is separated from God, let me present something for your consideration. Have you ever noticed that millions of people seem to be searching for happiness? Everybody wants to be happy, amen? How many people are searching in all the wrong places, though? You know, they go and they search in the world. They search in the bars and the saloons and places where people should not be searching for happiness. Like I say, most of them looking in all the wrong places. But listen, folks, years and years and years ago, I remember talking to my Sunday school teacher and other Christians before I was saved. You know, it seemed just too simple for me. In other words, the message of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. All I have to do is receive the free gift of salvation through the bloodshed of Christ on the cross of Calvary. It just seemed too simple to me. Even as a young boy, I thought, it cannot be that simple. So, you know what? Like so many other people, I spent a lot of time following this imaginary wall, looking for a place through my sin. In other words, looking for a way that I could work my way into heaven. Well, if I go to church every Sunday, surely that will get me into heaven. Or if I say this many prayers, surely that will get me into heaven. Or if I do good things for other people, surely that will get me into heaven. Or if I'm kind, or all of these other things. Now, those are good things, but that's not what God has declared. God has declared that if you want to get into heaven, you have to follow what the Word of God has said, and you have to go through that door that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, all that I knew was that I wanted just a little bit of what those Christians have in their life. So let me ask you this morning, are you a happy Christian?
Amen.
Thank you. We got one. All right, Miss Doreen. Starting next week, I'm going to start bringing gold stars. You just got a gold star right there. We got a gold star back there. So we got some happy Christians in here? Hallelujah. Yeah, everybody wants the gold star now. All right, it's what I was talking about, good works. But anyway, moving on. I wanted just a little bit of what those people had in their lives. And then one day, a preacher came and gave an amazingly simple message. Just as simple as today's message is going to be. And I came face to face with that door. And when I did, I had that decision to make. I could either go in and be with the others, or I could go on searching and remain outside. Friends, when I came to that door in my life, when I came to that moment, I wanted peace and love and happiness in my life so desperately that there was no way I was going to walk away from that. And if you're here in this sanctuary today and you have never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, if you're watching on the internet and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that the door is wide open. And in today's passages, we're going to cover that and talk about that. Because the door, of course, is Jesus Christ. Because He says, I am the door, as we read in our passage. Now, I'm a realist, and I realize that not everyone listening in today is saved. Whether you're here or on the internet, the odds are that what I just said is true. Some of you are still looking for that door. But there's good news today, because I have come here today for the sole purpose of telling you how to find it, where to find it, what you need to do. And believe it or not, you'll have a chance to come through that door to eternal joy and happiness and enter that place of eternity of God's heaven that every single saved person enjoys. Now, listen, guys, sometimes us saved people forget we're saved. We get the things of life can tear us down. The getting here on Sunday morning. I know that all you guys are Living Hope Church, you guys are solid Christians, and on your way here, none of you guys had those intense fellowships in the car with each other, where you had intense discussions, and then right before you got out of the car, everybody put on their spiritual faces and walked in the door. Singing hallelujah to the Lamb. I know that couldn't possibly have happened to this church. But listen, guys, what we want to do is to show you that it is not too good to be true. That you can just walk in. So let's take a look at it together, shall we? This is not going to be an extensive message. We have 3 points today. If you have your bulletin in your hand and you're ready to take notes, please say amen.
Amen.
And young people, if you're here, prove it to me after service. Come show me your points. All right, look at, first of all, this door is a person. The door is a person. Look at the first part of verse 9 in our passage again today. Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. In bold language, as directly and simply as he can possibly say it, Jesus Christ here declares himself to be the door. Now, one thing you need to understand is that this whole passage here is set in the context of the shepherd. The shepherd that takes care and watches over the sheep. Now, I thought that was such a beautiful imagery, that Jesus Christ is the shepherd, and he watches over us, until I went and studied what sheep are really like. They're not too bright. They try to go where they want to go. They're smelly. If they fall down, you got to pick them up. They can't pick themselves up. So I wasn't sure if I was all that wonderfully impressed with being called a sheep. But as long as I'm one of the sheep in the flock of God, I'm okay with that. Amen? So listen, a little shepherd talk here for just a moment. Now, I know that thrills you, knowing we're going to be talking about some shepherd talk. But what would happen is there would be what's called a sheepfold. And the sheep would graze all day. And in the evenings, the shepherd would put the sheep within this sheepfold. It may be made out of brush that he gathered during the day. It may be made out of rocks, or it may be a fenced in. But whatever it was, it would be a sheepfold, and all the sheep would go into that sheepfold for the night. And it would have one entrance in and out of it. And it would be a small entrance of about 3 or 4 feet across. If everybody's with me, please say amen.
Amen.
This was the only opening in the wall that allowed access to the enclosure. And at night, when the sheep were all inside, the shepherd would lay down in that opening. He would set himself down right there and lay himself down across that opening, blocking the entrance. In effect, the shepherd became the door to the sheepfold. If you're with me, say amen. Nothing could get in to get the flock. In other words, keeping the wolves and the bears and the lions out. And nothing could get out of the sheepfold, any sheep that were trying to wander off. Sometimes us shepherds feel like blocking the door. And all God's people said. And what happens is Jesus says that he is that door. No one gets into God's flock without going through him. Now, in the same chapter, chapter 10, look at verse 1, if you would, please. If you're there, please say amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and what? A robber. A thief and a robber. What is that all about? This is telling us that to attempt entry into the flock by any other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ marks one as a thief and a robber. In other words, anyone trying to get into God's heaven without passing through the door that is Jesus Christ is a thief and a robber. The different denominations that teach different ways to get to heaven are thieves and robbers. God wants you in His heaven. God made it simple for you to get in His heaven. And God says anyone that tells you any different other than coming through the door that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is a thief and a liar and a robber. In other words, you have to do X to get into heaven. Blasphemy. You need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. You need to do this number of works to get into heaven. Blasphemy. Thief and a robber. Only through Jesus Christ can we get into heaven. Now, hallelujah. That deserves some praise for the Heavenly Father. And what is going on here, simply stated, there is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn your bulletins over, look at the front of your bulletins, guys. You recognize that passage? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I don't know how to get any simpler than that, because here is the simplicity of God's plan. Salvation comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. Only through faith. Baptism won't do it. Is it good to be baptized? Say amen.
Amen.
Church membership won't do it. Is it good to be church membership?
Amen.
Amen. Church rituals and religious activity absolutely will not get the job done either. Folks, there is only one plan for man's salvation, and that is through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And if you look at that cross, you'll notice that there's nobody on it. Why? Because He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Folks, there's only one plan for man's salvation, through Jesus Christ. So here's the question you must answer, whether you're sitting here watching on the internet or listening to an audio or DVD later. If you are attempting to get into God's heaven, have you been through the door? Have you been through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ? Meaning, have you come through the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And only through the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why? He says, I am the door, and the door has a name, and His name is Jesus. Amen. And the door is a person. Amen? Amen? Point number two. This door is a proposal. This door is a proposal. In the middle part of verse 9, it says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That is the most amazing statement ever. Jesus offers a proposal of hope to a couple. No? A few. No? How many?
All.
He offers a proposal of hope to everyone. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Think of that. Think of the opportunity that we're talking about here. Anyone. Salvation is not for a club of a few elite people. God is no respecter of stature on this world. Amen? He's no respecter of the rich. He's no respecter of the wealthy. He's no respecter of the powerful and influential. He is a respecter of those that have received His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says this is extended to all. It's not a club for just a few. Nor is salvation a special club for only 144,000. You ever thought about that? There's some religions that say that only 144,000 can get in, and we have them all named. Which means for you to get in, you got to kick somebody out. Blasphemy. Thieves and robbers. This is an offer from God Himself to anyone and everyone. And that means that no one still alive is beyond the reach of God's saving love. How do I know that? I am so glad you asked. You'll notice that there's a passage up on the screen right now from the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 17. This is a passage you want to keep marked down in your Bible. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. What's this next word? Whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. You may be sitting here today in the sanctuary or watching on the internet. And you say, Pastor Larry, you don't know what I've done. I'm not smart enough. It doesn't say you have to be smart. It says whosoever will.
Amen.
I haven't done enough for the church. It doesn't say that. Whosoever will. I haven't read my Bible nearly enough. Welcome to the club. Say whosoever will.
Amen.
Whosoever will. Friends, God is absolutely clear that He loves everyone. How do I know that? Again, I'm so glad you asked. Let me share my heart with you for a minute. How do we know God loved everyone? Simple. John 3:16 reads how? For God so loved the what? World. Which means the world and everything. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will. Saw that passage? Whosoever. That whosoever will should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave His only begotten Son. Amen?
Yes.
Meaning you can be saved today. Right now. Right away. Right where you are. You may already be receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. You don't have to come to the pastor for that. That's not a stipulation. You don't have to go to some man to say I need to be saved. You can receive Christ right where you are. You might be listening in your car. You might be sitting in your living room eating nachos and cheese, getting ready for the football game, and watching this as while you're waiting. You can get saved right there. The only caveat, the only thing is that you must enter in through the door. Through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's your decision. It's your free will. Think about that. Your decision. The Lord Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to drag you through the door. But if you open and walk through, He'll let you in. Amen? So in other words, have you ever thought about this? That most doors are made to do what? Keep people out. Think about that. I mean, don't tell me that you have the front door in your house that you lock when you leave because you want everybody to come in. Most doors are designed to keep locked and keep people out. Jesus says, I am the door that is open to you and everyone else in this world. Come on in. Come on in and join the joy. Come on in and join the party. Come on, enjoy the saints of heaven for all of eternity. And what I am saying is this. God offers you salvation, but you will not be saved until you come to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's talk about that for just a moment. What happens if you do receive Jesus Christ as Lord? What happens if you receive Christ as Lord when you enter through the door? Theologically speaking, oh Lord, the pastor just said theologically. Theologically speaking, you are instantly changed in a second. You are instantly liberated from death and separation from God. You are totally transformed and eternally saved. You may be saying, well, Pastor Larry, I know some Christians. I'm not real sure they're eternally saved. I got a newsflash for you. There's folks right now that are telling their pastor, you know what? I hear the message, but I'm not sure they're eternally saved. Amen? Your salvation is not my decision. Your salvation is not the pastor or the church's decision or your friend's decision. Your salvation is based upon your free will decision to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Now listen, you've ever thought about that word saved? Don't say you haven't. Don't look all spiritual here on me. We've all thought about that word saved. And that word saved used right here in the original language, and I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to spare you that. Is a very interesting word. It's a very descriptive word. It was normally used in that day to describe a person who had been recovered from a serious illness. They had survived a war, came safely through a storm, or been injured and lived through it. And even someone that had won a decision in a court that someone was trying to prosecute them. That's what that word saved means. So what does that mean? What does that mean for all of us? It means that we have, in a spiritual sense, been doing all the above. We've been lost. We've been through, our souls are separated from God. We were separated from God and through our death, and we were destined for death and separation. But when we walk through that door, we are saved from all of that in an instant. Now, we all have our spiritual journey, amen? Some of us travel faster along the road than others. Some of us like to meander a bit. You know, as they go through the working out their edification, as they work out their salvation and they're learning to be better Christians. Some folks like to meander off the path for a little while and look at this and look at that. Others of us like to just focus in. You know what? Saved is saved. Amen? Saved is saved. This one little word saved is a glorious declaration of the eternal security we enjoy through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 28 in the same chapter. Verse 28, if you're there, please say amen. And I give them what? Eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. What does that mean? Why am I on such a rant about this? Because when God saves us, He keeps us. We may make a free will decision for salvation, but once we are saved, we are eternally saved. We are forever saved. We cannot throw it away. We cannot fold it, spindle, or mutilate it and toss it out. Saved is saved. Why? Why do we keep saying it? Well, first off, Jesus says it right there. He says that you are eternally saved. You cannot give away your salvation. You cannot throw away your salvation. You cannot, by some dastardly deed, lose your salvation. Why? What would have to happen for you to be unsaved? First, you would have to be unregenerated. Amen? You would have to be unborn again. Anybody around here think that's possible? Absolutely not. Second, the Scripture reads in other places that when you are saved, the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes place inside of you. You inherit all of the blessing of heaven. And what happens then is that the Holy Spirit seals you. You are sealed. You're sealed with God's seal. You can't unseal that. You cannot unseal that. You cannot unseal that. You are saved. I keep hearing in side studies and I hear people talking, sometimes in this very building, not necessarily from our church, about losing salvation, or they're afraid someone in their family lost their salvation. Cannot happen. It simply cannot happen. We may be throwing away a few of our crowns, amen? You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to lay down our crowns at the feet of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to lay down a paper hat. I don't want to get in heaven and be standing by the back door with a smoldering coattail. Just barely made it. I want to charge into heaven. Amen. Singing hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen? Now we're getting it. So that is why I'm on such a rant about this. God saves us and keeps us. He is not a God that saves us and then loses us. And saves us and loses us. And saves us, well, you get the idea. You may be saying, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. No, I don't. But I know what I've done, and the Lord saved me, and I'm still saved. Amen. That gives me rejoicing in my heart. Now, coming back to our story, I thought I'd get a testimony on that. I'm so glad I brought my own. Remember the wall and the happy people on the other side? Why are they happy? It's because that in Christ Jesus, Romans 5:9 says that the curse of death is removed, and we are set free from the awful wrath of God. Amen. We are set free. The curse of death is removed. In other words, once we are saved, spiritually speaking, talking about souls in heaven, no more grave diggers. No more coffins. None of that makes any difference. One day, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come back first, This container will empty itself out, but my soul will march straight into the gates of heaven. Straight in. Because I'm saved. In other words, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And I'm 100% certain that I am heaven bound. Are you heaven bound today? Are you heaven bound? Let me tidy this up for you a little bit. Our sin is the wall between God and us. On this side of the wall, we're dead in our sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, He placed Himself as a door in the wall, Himself between us and the wrath of God. And when that happened, God says, I have a proposal for you. There's the door. Just walk right in. My Son, in whom I am well pleased, has died on the cross for you. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through Him. And all you have to do is acknowledge that the door is the only way through and walk in. Amen. It's just that simple, guys. You know, for the child of God, one day when we leave this world, we'll be forever free from the presence of sin. Revelation 21:27 says, there is no defiled thing in God's heaven. No defiled thing in God's heaven. We were talking about this past Wednesday. What does that mean? Well, no defiled thing. No ugly people. We had... Have you ever noticed sometimes that when you go see the babies in the hospital? Look, guys, I hate to say it. This is the pastor speaking. I say this with all the compassion in my heart. They're not all beautiful. I know that because my daughter, when she was born, was perfect. She was beautiful. She was amazing. Her skin was full. She had this hair. She was just beautiful. My son. I saw him. And I went and saw my wife because she had the baby cesarean section. Back in those days, you couldn't go in. And she goes, "Did you see him?" I said, "Yes, sweetheart." She goes, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know. He's not done. He's not finished. He was all wrinkled up and red and hairy. He had hair on his knuckles and his toes." You know, people would come in and they would walk in. They would walk into the place to look at the babies. And they walk in and they go like, "Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah." And I'm over here just standing waiting. You know. "Oh, yeah. Ooh." And walk away. Listen, they're not all, but listen, guys, that doesn't happen in heaven, amen? No ugly people up there. There's nothing defiled up there, amen? What an amazing God we serve, guys. What an amazing God. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've never had a proposal like that. Let's go to our third point and wrap this up. The third point is that the door is a promise. We're continuing on in verse 9 and then verse 10. "And we'll go out, go in and out and find pasture." That word pasture means rest. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The door is a promise, my friends. This door is a promise. Now, pasture means, as I said just a moment ago, rest. We're no longer searching for anything because we have the desires of our heart. What is the desires of our heart? His name is Jesus. Amen. That is the desires of my heart. Once upon a time, back in the dark ages, me and Miss Ruth Ann got married a little over 46 years ago. She was the desire of my heart. But Jesus took that place. Now listen to me. Miss Ruth Ann is second after the Lord. That's a pretty good place to be, amen? And in her life, I'm hoping I'm second after the Lord. Miss Ruth Ann's nodding her head. All right, I'm in, guys. We're good there. All right? We're no longer searching for anything because we have the desires of our heart. His name is Jesus. It means we found rest from our struggles. And the name of that rest is Jesus Christ. When we find pasture, it means that, in verse 9, it means that we are the recipients of God's grace. And the name of that grace is Jesus. Amen? Grace. What an amazing word. Grace, grace, God's grace. Listen, guys, I'm just resting in grace. Amen? Amen? I'm just resting on grace. It was grace that sought me. Jesus Christ came looking for me. Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and the knock. And if you open, I will come in and sup with you and you with me." Jesus, it was grace that sought me. Jesus came looking for me. It was grace that bought me. Jesus laid down His life willingly. Look at verse 18 of today's chapter. If you're there, please say amen. Look at verse 17 first, though. "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." No one takes the Lord's life. The Lord laid down His life for you. Can you imagine that? God, willingly, freely, for the joy set before Him, thinking of you, went joyfully to the cross of Calvary. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I am so humbled by that. And it's grace that will lead me home. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that one day the trump shall sound, and the Lord shall descend with a shout, and we will be caught up to be with Him in the heavens. Isn't that going to be a glorious day? Now listen, guys, some people think it's going to be like a mysterious vanishing. Well, 1 Thessalonians doesn't say that. It says that the trump will sound, hallelujah, the Lord will descend with the shout. That means the world will hear this. And they will hear that the Lord give a great shout as He descends and say, "Come on home. Come on home, Miss Earlene. Come on up, Miss Doreen. Come on up, Brother Gregory. Come on up. Come on up to heaven." Guys, it's such an amazing thing. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "For you have been saved by God's grace." I just love that. And there's a verse that I love just as much. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Mark that in your side. It says this: I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. When you walk through that door and receive Jesus Christ as Lord, He will never, ever receive you. Let me share something really important to you. You may be going through a tough time right now. You may be going through a difficult time. You may be grieving the loss of a loved one. For you young people, you might have split up with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Whatever. You may be going through a tough time. But there is never a time that Jesus Christ is not speaking to your heart. Not ever. There's never a place where Jesus Christ is not right there. Never. There is never a room so dark, a lounge so trashy, an office so sophisticated, a hole so deep that the ever-present, ever-pursuing, relentlessly tender, omniscient, omnipotent, imminent, loving Jesus Christ is not there, tapping gently on the door of your heart, waiting to be invited in. Never. That's the Jesus that we serve. Sadly, not everyone is always listening for His voice. Fewer still even ever open the door. But friends, never interpret our deafness for God's absence. You understand what I'm saying? Never, never interpret our deafness as God's absence. Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is right here, right now, today. And there is no sound in the world that can drown out the voice of God in your heart if you'll only listen. You see, right now, if you're not saved and you're here in this sanctuary or you're watching on the internet, you hear that sweet voice talking into your heart. You hear that sweet voice whispering in your ear. Let me share something with you. That sweet voice is not you. That's the Lord. You see, the other voice talking is your own personal ambitions. I can do this next week. I can do this tomorrow. I can do this whenever. If I get deathly sick, I can do it right before I die. Guys, we are not promised tomorrow. In fact, we are not promised the next 2 minutes. You don't know what will happen when you leave here today. Don't leave without having Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Because He's here right now. So let me ask this in closing. Let me ask this question. Which side of the wall are you on this morning? Which side of the wall? And may I ask you another question? Are you wandering around outside that wall, but you want to come inside where the blessings are? If that describes you, if you feel a lack of something in your life, if you know for sure that you are unsaved, but you want to be saved, then I invite you to come to Jesus Christ today. Because based on the inerrant Word of the living God, I guarantee you that He will save you right now, right here, today. And you'll be saved forevermore. Guys, listen. Just open the door and walk on in and receive Jesus Christ today. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone who is wise, be honor and glory and power forever and ever. Grace and peace I give to you from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would, please. You've been so wonderfully patient today as I've given this message. And as I've given this message, I don't know where your heart is at.
We've come to praise you. We've come to praise you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the Church Link app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are God, you are worthy.